Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
Burned. Severe burns. Fourth degree, we assume. The voice over the radio muttered. The truck engine rumbled, and grey plumes of smoke emerged from inside of the exhaust pipe. I put my keys in my cup holder and grabbed my radio. The truck door opened with a click, and I slowly got out, slamming the door on my way out. Rain dribbled onto the front of the white truck, erupting in small bursts that left little drops on my face. The concrete was wet, creating a glossy and frothy effect along the road. A brick corridor separated me and the gloomy morgue I'd worked at for years on end. I walked to the back of the truck and fidgeted with the lock. "How was the burn caused?" I asked the man. "Faulty equipment inside the ship, at least we assume. We haven't had any confirmation, but from what we assume, it had to have been mechanical mishaps. We couldn't find or recover any other bodies. They must have been pulled out of space when the interior was punctured." "Is the information about the accident classified?" I questioned him once again. "As for now, yes. Government officials will notify us when necessary." The metal doors swung open, and a terrible smell corrupted the fresh, misty air. It had the stench of rotten roadkill, searing in the sun. I cringed in horror. Yet, I smelled the same thing a million times, and somehow, I hadn't gotten used to it. I grabbed the cold, metal stretcher, and pulled it out of the truck. The tarp over the body fluttered in the wind, and it was as if the corpse was alive, grasping for another chance. I faced forward, right in front of the grey, concrete ramp. I pushed the glass doors away from me and rolled the stretcher inside. The morgue was barren, as usual. The small metal doors of the body refrigeration compartment opaquely reflected my workspace. I placed the charred body onto the silver autopsy table in front of me. I began to undo the tarp on the carcass. I reached into a small cardboard box beside the table and pulled out a latex glove and snapped it snug onto my hand. To begin the autopsy, I carefully chose a small surgical knife and began a small incision on his upper abdomen where the burns and blisters were located. The epidermis was black and flaky, like a burnt steak left on the grill for hours on end. As I began cutting, the skin seemed to sizzle and smoke the deeper I got into the corpse. My grip of the knife weakened. The burning sensation shot up the scalpel and onto my hand, nearly fusing the rubbery glove to my fingers. The blade flew out of my hand and I stumbled back, bumping into a small metal table and dropping my clean, pewter-like tools. "Help!" I screamed in agony, writhing around, trying to take in the pain. "God damn it, somebody, please!" I cried once more. I looked for my phone, looking around desperately, but I realized I had left it in the truck. No one came to help. It's ironic. There were dozens of people around me, and they were all dead. It was almost as if they were mocking me. Newly formed blisters appeared in my fingers, and they started to move around and bubble. I ran frantically to the sink, grasping my wrist. My hand, searing, managed to turn the faucet on, and a cold stream of water blanketed around my blistered appendage. My fingers flaked up like the body I was operating. I turned the water off after about a minute to examine my hand, and it seemed like it was slowly spreading. As it spread up my hand, it started to burn my flesh, like reaching into an open flame. I grabbed a paper towel off of the roller and tore it off. I rinsed the towel in water, squeezed it out and wiped my hand off, trying to remove it. My hand was just a bloody, irritated stump. My fingers were unrecognizable, as a thick coat of bullous covered them. They filled with a white-green pus, expanding and popping. I didn't know what to do next. I was trying to understand what was happening to my arm. Bloody paper towels littered the floor from the wound, and I scrambled to my feet, running to the glass doors. I pushed the doors, tripping down the stairs, each step sending a sharp pain in my side. I cried out, holding my wound as the rain pelted my horrific stump. The water was like molten lava to me. Each droplet burned into my arm, making the blood splurt under the rough, moist concrete in rhythmical fashion, spewing white pus all over. After minutes of little drops of rain falling on my body, my nerves were so damaged, I couldn't feel a thing. The bubble blisters were dull, and the blood and pus made my head light. I thought about what to do next. If I could just get my phone out of my truck. I got up, determined to call 911 and get help. Adrenaline fled through my veins, and I managed to get up onto my feet and dart out to the front glass doors. I busted out, lost my footing and tripped down the stairs, colliding with cold, solid concrete, busting my chin on the wet concrete. Rain pelted on my sizzling wounds as I tried to regain my breath. My legs were weak and bruised. When my bloody stump of a hand bashed with the grey cement, it split into three terrible segments of long, crimson skin. I expected to pass out from the pain, but my nerves were completely gone from that limb. When I managed to tolerate all of this pain, I tried to get back on my feet, but I sensed something squirming in my arm. The terrible mess of a hand squelched and twisted. The three long skin chunks that remained in my left arm fused together and writhed. I felt it. I knew that something was inside of me. A living, moving, breathing thing. At this point, I gave up. Life just wasn't worth living. I knew screaming wouldn't do any good. I was excluded from most of society, and the fact that the area was gated didn't make it any better. I accepted my hellish fate. I took one look inside of the morgue. I saw something shiny, glimmering in the fluorescent light, reflecting brightly onto my eyes. It was my only choice. The scalpel, I thought to myself, it was the only way. I stumbled to my feet and crawled under the four brick steps that led to the comforting light of my workspace. I had assurance and confidence that I would survive. I fumbled up the steps. My vision was blurry, and I pushed forward on the black iron bars in front of the glossy doors. As soon as I entered, I fell to my knees, wiping the blood from both of my forearms and my shirt. I inched forward, crawling on my aching knees and elbows. I reached for the knife and grabbed it as tightly as I could. The metal was ice cold, but my body was stiff and hot. It felt like hundreds of pins pushed into me all at once. Anxiety swept over me. The pain was surprisingly timid, and I just kept scraping and scraping. Chunks of blood and flesh fell onto the tile floor. I carved deeper and deeper. My nerves were completely sizzled, making me unable to feel anything from the elbow down. As I was shredding my hand, I saw something moving from my elbow to my neck. I smirked as I moved the scalpel upward and stabbed into my shoulder where the moving bulge was. My nerves were still working there, and it sent a stinging sensation along my neck. Trickles of blood were sliding down my forearm, and I reached in to grab the creature inside of me. I pulled it out, with a terrible spurt of blood following. It was a nasty little fella. Its skin was brownish-red and had human-like bulging eyes. The limbs on this abomination were twisted, and it struggled to escape my grasp. My head felt light, and I struggled to breathe. The puddled blood on the tile floor had been growing by the second. I closed my eyes, and everything went dark. I woke up in a pool of my own blood. My clothes were crusted brown from my wounds, and my mouth had a disgusting metallic taste. I spat on the floor and looked around. The corpse that was previously on the table had vanished, and the disgusting little cretin from earlier had disappeared as well. The fluorescent lights flickered, and I took off my jacket to cover my wounds. I tied it around my neck to cover the massive gash over my shoulder. The only sounds were the buzzing from the flickering bulbs and something that sounded like tapping on the floor. After all that happened, I needed something to defend myself with. I scanned the floor and saw the scarlet-soaked scalpel on the ground. I slowly leaned down and grabbed it. Blood touched the tips of my fingers as I fished the knife out of the red, viscous liquid. I wiped the scalpel on my dirty, gore-covered shirt and paced around the morgue very carefully. Every time the light flickered, I felt as if something was near me, walking around the small corridors. Maybe it was closer than I thought. I stumbled into a corner where I stayed for what seemed like an eternity. I held the knife up, shaking and trembling. If I had lost any more blood, I'd say I'd probably be dead right now. The adrenaline rushed through my body, and I was ready to attack at any second. I thought something would jump at me or pounce from the ceiling, but those expectations changed when I saw a slight silhouette in the dark hallway, parallel from me. I blinked and tried to make out what it was. It looked bulky. It slowly shifted around, and every once in a while, it let out a quiet, wet snarl. I held my breath and tried not to draw any sudden attention to me. The thing made its way towards me. Each step let out a terrible, wet, sludgy echo that resonated in the morgue. Dread filled every inch of my body, and terror had fled through my veins. As I focused on the thing, I noticed something. It had an ashy, burnt upper body with a crippled torso and mutilated face. Its lower body was twisted and wet. What is this thing? What is it? It was the corpse. I was getting killed here. Ironic, huh? Dying in a morgue. I bet my friends would have a good laugh about that. I didn't think twice about fighting. At this point, the creature was at reaching distance. After all this fighting, I just wanted to close my eyes and sleep. I woke up with a terrible headache. Sirens pierced my ears, and blue and red lights flashed like thunder. I was in an ambulance. I could feel the rumble below me crunch beneath the speeding wheels. I was so tired. My memory was fuzzy at the time. I didn't know what was happening. The air masks surrounding my mouth filled my lungs with a slightly sweet tasting gas. My limbs were numb, and I couldn't move. Bandages were wrapped around nearly all of my appendages. The ride was kind of soothing, and when I arrived at the hospital, I felt a huge relief of hope. A sort of safe space between me and that disgusting beast. I zoned out for a bit, but I could feel fresh sheets and blankets surrounding me, like a warm hug. Dozens of pill bottles littered my nightstand, and I was forced to chug this despicable medicine every day. IVs were littered around my body in various places, and I was tucked into paper-like blankets. In some way, I felt dead, like I was supposed to die. I should have died. Why am I still here? I have no purpose anymore. I wanted to get out of there and end everything already. As the days went on, I could notice my skin getting noticeably more dark and irritated. Dark veins shot through my body, and doctors came into my room regularly to check in on me. Every time they come in, they seem more terrified than last time. I want to know what's going on, but every time I ask a doctor, they don't answer. All they do is stare hopelessly into my eyes and apologize to me. Why are they apologizing? I want to know what's going on. I don't have any answers. The only reason I'm telling you this is because I don't think I have a lot more time left. There's something squirming in my left arm, like some sort of electricity.